Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to Five to Go. Parshas Toldos to go, five Divrei Torah for your Shabbos table. Parshas Toldos is an amazing parsha. We're transitioning now from the life and legacy of Avram and Sarah, Avinu v'Imenu, their last names, to the trials and tribulations of Yitzchak and Rivka's life. Yitzchak, as opposed to Avraham, never gets his own parsha. Right, Yitzchak is always with another Av. Last, when he was born, he was with his father. And now, immediately, he doesn't get his own spotlight. His spotlight is always shared with others. It's shared here with his son Yaakov, who is the next Av that's up with the birth of the twins in the beginning of our Parsha, which is fascinating to think about. Yitzchak, the stories, that narratives that are here, always coupled with this. And Yitzchak was really a transitional Av in many ways. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes that he represented the Mesorah. He was the first Jew who was from birth. Avraham was we call him a Baal Tshuva to a certain degree, and he had a certain lifestyle. Yitzchak was to do that from birth and move forward and take all the lessons and meanings and legacy of Avraham and bring it into reality, bring it into this world. And Yaakov had a different role and a different job. I'd like to begin at the very beginning of the parsha, where Yitzchak and Rivka both had difficulty having children. This is a common theme amongst all of the Avos and Imahos, that they were all infertile. They all had difficulty, except for Yaakov with Leah, but Yaakov and Rachel, Sarah and Avraham, they all had, and Yitzchak and Rivka right here, all had difficulty. And you will notice that each of them had different ways to deal with this. Each of them had different ways to deal with this. The Zohar writes, and without the Zohar saying this, we would just maybe assume it. The Zohar writes and points out that the Torah never says explicitly that Avram and Sarah daven for children. The Zohar takes him to task and is bothered by that notion, Avram, Sarah, never davened for children. Yet here in the beginning, and it's highlighted, because here the Torah tells us, Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem, Lenochach Icho Ki Akarahi. Yitzchak beseeches, Vayetar God, Lenochach Ishto Ki Akarahi, because she is an Akarah, she's barren. Vayesar Lo Hashem, Vatahar Rivka Ishto, they daven, and she conceives. Now, there's one word here that I did not really explain. Lenochach ishto. What does that mean, lenochach ishto? What does it mean, he daven lenochach ishto? So Rashi tells us so beautifully that Yitzchak davened in one corner of the room, and Rivka davened in the other corner of the room. And they were davening together. Ze ome bezavidzu umispala, vze vizu ome bezavidzu umispala les. They were down in different corners of the room, and that was so beautiful to show how they were a team. And they coupled together, and they said, we're going to dive in together, storm the heavens, storm the world, and dive in all together. That is the language of Rashi. Yet the Rashbam says a different interpretation. Lenochach, according to Rashi, is a spatial thing. Lenochach, they were like opposite each other in parts of the room. The Rashbam, Rashi's grandson.
That was the first mechitza.
That was all. Thank you. That first mechitza. Okay, was there somebody down the middle? How high was it?
It was so shape and size.
Oh, they had to have a board, had to vote on it. It was a whole discussion. Great. Thank you, Jules. Now, Lenochach Ishto, the Rashbam writes, Bishvil. He davened for his wife. Now, what does that mean, he davened for his wife? He wants a son too. He wants children too. What is it? He davened Lenochach Ishto. So the Meshech Chachma, Rameir Simcha de Vince, takes his opinion of the Rashbam and builds on it. He says that it's very clear from early on in the Torah that Yitzchak was definitely going to have children. Yitzchak was going to have a legacy where he's going to have children. Yitzchak davened that the children should come through Rivka. It shouldn't be that we need to go through all these bells and whistles with a Pilegesh and a Shifcha, somebody else. I want that Rivka Imenu is going to be the one that is going to raise our children. It's going to be with her. I want to have the children with her. What's amazing about this thought is that this shows how important it is that our tefillos need to be selfless, that it's important that we daven for all the things that we want, we need, are necessary for us, for the Jewish people. There's an element of our tefillah that needs to be selfless, to daven for others. Lenochach Ishto, the Rashbam is writing, he davened completely and utterly. God gave me a promise for me. Great, wonderful. I want Rivka to have children. I want her. She's going to be such a great mother. I want her to have the ability to raise the kids and for her to be those, her biological children. That's such an amazing, beautiful thought. You know, from the perspective of infertility, sometimes it's the husband, sometimes it's the woman, but to daven ba'ad chaveiro. And this is really the greatest chesed we could do when it comes to tefillah. Rav Huttner was once asked, a certain Talmud was struggling, and one of the other friends said, Rebbe, what can I do for this Talmud? I've tried to help him, and there's nothing I can do. Rav Huttner said, one of the greatest chasadim you can do for your friend is to daven for your friend. We don't look at tefillah as a chesed, but that's what Yitzchak is teaching us. Lenochach Ishto, that tefillah itself can be a chesed. Yeah. Does someone have a question?
Yes, there was
I think
there's a midrash saying that he actually went to Har Hamoriah to pray for son. And she came from a different environment. She came from a place where there was idol worship. Therefore, her tefillah was not accepted. It was his tefillah that was accepted for getting children.
Very nice. Very nice, Rabbi Lapp. I like that a lot. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, Baruch Hashem, Mazel Tov, B'Shah Tova, they have twins. And Baruch Hashem, by the way, another baby boy born into the community. We had what Shalom Zachar this last week, a Shalom Zachar Baruch Hashem this week to Lior Moshe Vinegar. Now, the boys are born. Yaakov and Esav are born. The Torah tells us, V'yigdulu ha'na'arim. V'yihi Esav ish yodei atzayid ish shadeh. And it was that Esav was a man that knew of hunting. He was a hunter, a man of the field. Yaakov ishtam, and Yaakov is an ishtam. It's really difficult to describe what that word means. He had tzmimus. It wasn't simple. Tam doesn't mean simple, but he was wholesome. Yoshev ohalim, who was a dweller of tents. Now, I want to focus on a few different aspects of, you know, what made Yitzchak, Yaakov versus Esav. This pasuk really says so much about their personality. So what is it that is they're highlighting here? Is it just that Yaakov, Esav was a hunter, therefore he's a bad guy? Like, is that because you have that proclivity towards hunting, therefore that makes you a guy that we shouldn't hang out with? Versus Yaakov, he's hanging out in the tents. That's a good thing. What is it about this? I want to share with you first a Rabbeinu Bachya, and then a Radak. Rabbeinu Bachya points out here something amazing. He says, if a nuance in the language, Vayigdulu hanarim vayehi. Vayehi, Esav ishadeh. And it was that Esav was a man of the field, a hunter. When it comes to Yaakov, the Torah tells us, Vayakov, and Yaakov was in ishtam. Why doesn't Yaakov get the word vayehi? Vayehi, Yaakov ishtam. It's so dramatic. It's so like a da-da-da-da, vayehi Yaakov. Why not? Why not? So Rabbeinu Bachya says something so amazing about their personalities. He says that Esav was Vayehi. It's Lashon Havaya. The way that he was is the way that he is now and the way that he will be. The way that Esav was born was the way that Esav will be his entire life. Esav never changed. He never changed. That comes from even from the language of the word Esav. Esav means asui. He was born completely mature with facial hair and with Hirana said he was completely mature in the way that he was born, and he never sought to change in his life. Therefore, the way the Torah proclaims and announces his occupation is Vayhi Esav. The Esav, you see the Esav you have now, that's the way he always will be. You know, and you see this sometimes. You know, recently I bumped into somebody I haven't seen in 20 years. And, you know, and I'm sure I could relate. You relate to this also. Sometimes once in a while you bump into somebody and sometimes, like, they're the exact same person, right? And sometimes that's great. They were a great person back then, and it's great that they're a great person right now. But sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, you didn't change. You're still that same person from high school. You're still that same guy, that same girl. I can't believe, like, what happened? You know, or what happened? Nothing happened. That's like an Esav personality. When you come, right? Hashem gives us all different proclivities. I'm going to be a hunter. I'm going to be the one that goes out into the world. And that's great. What do we do with that? So Esav did nothing. He just continued to be the person that he was. As opposed to Yaakov, Ishtam. That's who Yaakov is right now. But Yaakov is going to grow. Yaakov's going to be dynamic. He's going to connect more. Right? Yaakov did not eventually, think about Yaakov's life. Yaakov did not stay as the meek, quiet yeshiva student who was sitting and learning. That's not who he ended up being. He was, you know, a shepherd in House of Lavan. He was a businessman. You know, he fought wars. He interacted with giants in the political scene in Egypt. And he had so much more than just the way that he was born, because he challenged himself and pushed himself to grow and to change and to become even greater. And that leads into the next point, Yoshev Ohalim. What does this mean that he was a Yoshev Ohalim? The Radak writes, this is our third idea for the morning, Ki haya lomed im kochacham shahaya motzi im zeh v'im zeh. He sought out chachma. He desired to learn more. He continued and always wanted to learn so much from everybody around him. Ki chochevtso haya bazeh. V'yatam ibli shum mirma v'avel. He was simple or simplistic in the way that he wanted to learn from everybody. There was no airs about Yaakov or no guard about him. He just wanted to really learn and grow and understand and from everybody and everyone. And that's what Yaakov was, and that's what made him great, is that whenever he interacted with somebody, he always saw that as an opportunity to learn from them. This is similar to Yaakov's mother. There was an exchange in last week's Parsha where Eliezer gives, anyone remember that Eliezer gives Rivka three gifts? I don't know what those gifts were. Actually, two gifts, sorry. He gives her two gifts. One was, gives her Nezem.
Nezem.
Thank you. Is that Claire?
Yeah.
Thank you, Claire. So he gives her a Nezem, a ring that weighs a half a shekel. And then he gave her two bracelets that weighed 10 shekel.
Oh.
Rashi writes that the two bracelets remind us of the two luchos, two tablets. The weight of 10 of the bracelets remind us of the 10 commandments. And the half shekel weight of the ring reminds us of the machzis shekel. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, I don't get it. I understand that, Eliezer, you want to tell Rivka that this marriage that you're going into with Yitzchak is not just a random marriage, marrying a random guy. This marriage is fundamental to the Jewish people. You are going to be foundational people that represent Klal Yisrael, the new Avanim of the Jewish people. That is very significant. Therefore, it needs to be rooted in the Ten Commandments and the Aseres and the Tuluchos. Yet why also bring the Machzis Shekel? Master Shekel was something we donated every single year that was brought to the Beis HaMikdash, help for the Beis HaMikdash, and brought for the Korbanos HaTzibur. Why was that necessary? So Eliezer wanted to tell Rivka the same idea, that Rivka, to be part of the Jewish people, is to understand that you're only a half. And now we value learning from other people. We value, understand that we're going to bring everything that we have to the table, everything that God gave us and God blessed us with and all the things, we're going to bring that to the table. Yet we have to understand that there's also so much more we can gain from other people. And that's what Yaakov here was imbued with. The Radak is telling us that Yaakov was imbued with this lesson that he wanted to just learn and gain knowledge from everybody. And that would make him a greater person and great, you know, have a greater worldview, but really connect him in a very special way. And that was the language of the Radak. Now, continue to the very next pasuk. There's an amazing ha'ara that I want to share here. The Torah tells us, "Vayehav Yitzchak is Esav, kisai b'fif." You can learn so much about parenting, so much about Yaakov and Esav, what they were. And there's so many different interpretations of these pasukim. So, "Vayehav Yitzchak is Esav." Yitzchak loved Esav, kitzai b'fif. Kitzai b'fif, because he does what? I want to just share Rashi with you because it's really hard to understand what these words mean. That he trapped him in his mouth because Esav gave Yitzchak food, and through the food he loved him more. Rivka oheves es Yaakov. And Rivka loves Yaakov. There are many different questions we can ask on these psukim. It says Vayehav in the past that he loved him, versus Rivka loves always. It sounds like one, and it's and secondly, and this is what we're going to focus on. It sounds like Yitzchak's love of Esav is conditional. It's conditional and contingent upon the receiving of food. God forbid we could. That sounds like what the pasuk is really telling us over here about their life. So I want to share with you. And how could it be? Yitzchak Avinu would, because he's getting delicious food from his son. That's why he loves him. He loves him because he loves him because he's his son. Right? We most of us relate to this. So I want to share with you an idea from a new Sefer Chumash that came out last year. Yaakov Bender. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
The food that Esav provided was deer meat. So the question is, how did he shecht it?
Had he shecht it?
Have he shecht it?
Okay, we got to assume they shechted it appropriately. I'm sure some svarim discussed that. Can we trust Esav? Maybe Yaakov was watching him. Maybe there's Mashkiach. We know that he trusted Esav and that he wanted him to do the right thing. And maybe that goes into the next. And we assume that he did. We'll assume that he did.
I think there's another interpretation concerning them. Esav was a materialist.
Yeah.
Yaakov was a spiritualist.
Correct.
Esav was out there to kill and get the food or whatever, and process it and sell it. And Yaakov, on the other hand, was getting closer to Hashem.
Right. So now, how do we understand Yitzchak's relation to Esav? And I saw this idea from Rabbi Yaakov Bender, who is a great educator, mechanich, in the Five Towns. And he said something really powerful. He said here, the mark of a great educator in general is the ability to connect with their students on their level. And why is that important? Why is it important to like talk to them maybe about sports? Like not every Rebbe does that. Why is that important? Because when you show an interest in what they're into, then when it comes to things that are more important and more significant, they're also going to come to you. So it's worth it. It's valuable to talk about these things. And he shared a story about Rav David Trank. From Mendel Kaplan. I don't know who Mendel, I think it was a Rav in the Mir in Brooklyn, where he told his boys every morning before Shir started, he took out the newspaper. And Randall Kaplan came over from Europe and only spoke Yiddish. And he told the boys, I want to learn English. Can you help me read the newspaper? And through that, they would talk about politics. They would talk about the election yesterday or 2 days ago. And they would talk about sports. And they would talk about all these things. You know, did Romano Campo need this to learn English? No, he didn't need this. But this is his way. He used this, used a newspaper as a tool to connect with the students and show them how much he wanted to talk to them and how much he valued their opinion. And they talked about things that were non-Torah that helped uplift them and connect them. And he says, maybe that's what is happening here with Yitzhak and Esav. Yitzhak saw where his son was coming from and where his interests were. So he said, you know what? I'm going to meet my son where he is. And I'm going to connect to him on his level. So I'll talk to him about filet mignon and different cuts of steak and sous vide and steaming steak and roasting it and all these smoking it and all these different things because it matters to him. And if that matters to him, then it matters to me because I want to connect with my son where he's at. And that's, I think, such an important thought and such an important idea for us, to meet people where they are and be able to connect with them. And we show them that we are going to do that, then it broadens and deepens the relationship and bond that we all have. So that is a thought from, I think, a beautiful idea on the pasuk. Okay, let's Sfasem is might say something very, very similar. For the last idea of the morning, we're going to go to the there's so much to talk about. It really is. There's so much to talk about. So we're going to go to the end of the parasha, where we get Yaakov steals the brachos. Yaakov is an Ish Emes. He steals the brachos. That within itself is extremely challenging and difficult to understand. And why he needs to do this? Why does it matter that Yitzhak thinks that he's blessing somebody else? Does Yitzhak really know what's going on? We could debate this for hours in terms of exactly what exactly is going on in these stories. The Torah tells us what's the bracha. V'yitein lecha ha'elokim mital hashemayim mishmanei aretz rov digam v'tirosh. The bracha that Yaakov gets is v'yitein lecha. Many people have the minhag on Motzei Shabbos to recite a tefillah. Recall Vitin Lacha, based on the psukim of the bracha that Yitzchak gives to Yaakov. So he says that Hashem should grant to you the dew of the heavens and the fatness of the earth and abundant grain and wine. Because if that was a bracha, that maybe Esav was supposed to be. Esav was the man of the world. Yaakov. Yaakov is getting this bracha that to be earmarked for Esav. Yet, now listen to what Rashi writes. Yitain, v'yachzor, v'yitain. That v'yitain lecha. What does it mean, v'yitain lecha? And I will give you more. So Rashi interprets this as, Hashem's going to give the Jewish people, give Yaakov some, and then it's going to run out. And then he's going to give us more, and then more. And then it's going to continue. But meaning that it's not going to come all in one fell swoop. That's not the way it was going to work with the bracha. As opposed to the bracha that Esav receives, the bracha that Esav receives is fundamentally different. He says to him, you're going to have an abundance of grain and wine that's going to be able to support you. So it sounds like the bracha that Esav ultimately gets is a better bracha. Esav, you're getting a limitless credit card. You're getting, you know, an unlimited bank account. Yaakov, Yitain, V'yachzor V'yitain. Now, the Shem Yishmol writes, why is that? Why is that a bracha? Why is that what we're getting if it seems like it's limited? So the Shemish Shmuel, the Sukachava Rebbe, writes that, just think about it this way. If you are a parent on this Zoom room, or you were a child that received from your parents, what is a better setup to build a relationship? I'm the parent. My child goes away to Israel for the year. I say, here, take this credit card. I'll see you after 10 months. Call me to say hello. Now, what's going to happen? We know that children do call their parents when they need something. Right? If nothing is needed, then it's hard to build that relationship. Not that parents should withhold from their children, God forbid. Right? But this helps to build a relationship between two. Right? Hashem is telling us that the true bracha is that you'll come back, that there's going to be a dynamic connection relationship between us and the Jewish people. We're not going to feel like we get everything and therefore we don't have to come back. Think about, and that's the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov, you get a little bit, and then you'll get more, and then you'll get more. And this is what the klala of the Nachash was. Hashem says to the Nachash, it sounds great. Wherever, right, you sinned, you failed me, wherever you go, you'll be able to have food. There'll be food for you to eat wherever you go, Mr. Nachash. And that doesn't sound like a klala, that sounds like a big bracha. Yet when you always are full and you always can have more and more and more, then you never realize where that is coming from. And it's so easy to forget who it's from, where it's from, and that it's not easy for everybody else to get that. As opposed to the bracha or the klala of Avraham, of Adam and Chava, there is bizarre. It's going to be, you're going to have to work hard for your money. Working hard for your money is a bracha. That's a bracha to recognize that it comes from Hashem. That's the bracha that he gets. Yachsor, yitain, v'yachsor, v'yitain. It's that Hashem's going to say, I want to build a relationship with you. I care about you so much that I want to be involved in the pratim, the details of your life. And what looks like, you know, on one hand, to maybe an immature person might be a klala. To us, we understand that there's a bracha shabo. And that's also, he writes, a difference between the land of Mitzrayim and the land of Eretz Israel. Mitzrayim is described as a land that's kulo mashke. There's no problem. The Nile River overflows, feeds into all of the luscious pasture, and everything is always great. It's easy there. In Eretz Israel, it is not easy, but that creates a greater reliance and a greater relationship with the Ribono Sha'olam. And that's what Hashem wants. He wants the relationship, and that was the bracha that Yaakov received. So today we discuss several different ideas about the personalities of Yaakov and Esau. We began with Yitzchak, davening bishvil ishto, for his wife. I know I got a promise from Hashem, but I'm doing this for my wife. And that the greatest chesed we could do for somebody is to daven for them. Then we discussed different approaches about Yaakov, what made Yaakov Yaakov, and what makes Esav Esav. Esav was Vayihi. He was, he is, he always will be the same person. As opposed to Yaakov, wanted to learn from everyone, everybody. It seems like Yitzchak's bracha was contingent, or Yitzchak's love was contingent upon something else. No, he wanted to meet him where he was. And how important that is as teachers or as parents to do that and continue to find spaces and ways and avenues and venues to connect with our people. And the last idea was from the Shemi Shmuel. I think the Sfas Emes writes the same idea, that our ability to the bracha is this continued relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what Hashem wants from us. Okay, wish everybody a warm, first of all, Michael. Great, we need some warm weather. Please, Michael and Milti, send it over here. Okay, a warm and wonderful Shabbos, everyone.
Okay.